there's the topic, load-based handover. Again, if you would like to follow the slides, there's the URL also linked on the pre-talks for later reference. And let me get the cable out of the way here. So just very quickly, I would like to go through the simple handover process just to clarify what is going on. The MS, the phone, is connected to a BTS, and the BTS knows what its neighbors are. So it's a config item in Osmo BSC. It says, I have this and that neighbor on this cell. And this neighbor list gets sent to the phone by system information, and then the phone continuously monitors the RxLev, meaning the receive levels of the neighbor cells of that cell that it's currently on. And the current cell also has the receive quality and the timing advance information. And so when a call is ongoing or whenever a channel is in active use, every so often a measurement report gets sent. So this, at the beginning I was kind of confused, like what is MIS rep? But it just means measurement report, which goes back to the BSC, and the BSC can basically decide then what to do. Say the measurement report says the BTS2 is much better than the BTS1 in receive levels, then the BSC might say, okay, here I have a channel available on BTS2, telling the phone to hand over to the other BTS. The phone would send a RATCH, which would be detected. The BSC would then conclude the handover, release the old channel, and complete on the new. So this is simplified, left out some stuff, but basically then the phone is on the other BTS and will again get the neighbor lists from that BTS, and it could continue from there. So that's the basic building block of handover. Now, the proper handover, if you have a distributed network, means that you should on each BTS configure its specific neighbors, so that if a phone is at this cell, it knows which other neighbors it can easily hand over to. It's also connected to identifying the cells with RFCN and BSIC numbers that have a quite limited range. And but the automatic, like the default behavior of automatic neighbors in Osmo BSC is just every cell that we know is listed as a neighbor, so you can technically hand over to any other cell. That would obviously break in two large networks, but that's the default thing to do. And so again, the BSC is free to gather any information that it likes, RxLev, the quality, the timing advance, meaning the distance of the current call, and whatever it knows about the neighbors, and tells the phone to hand over to a different cell. Now, the key thing here is we could take any information into account. So that's a huge topic. We can, I don't know, depending on whether it's Christmas or not, but you know, you can invent anything. Now, the really useful thing is when you have a handover because of an RX level to another cell, then you go to the other cell, and then suddenly the RX quality is bad, and then you decide to hand over again and go back to the first cell, and then the RX level is bad again, and then you go back to the second, so you oscillate the handover. Stuff like this can happen quite easily. And also what you obviously want is to balance the load of your BTSs, which is what this talk is all about. So what we so far didn't do in Osmo BSC is take into consideration whether the other cell, BTS2, is already full. We would just try to allocate a logical channel, and if we got one, then there we go. So in the end, we might hand over a subscriber to a BTS and fill it up completely, and then leave the others completely empty, even though their receive levels weren't that far off the first one to begin with. So that's where the handover decision 2 comes in to play. When Harold implemented the first handover, it was already structured into do the handover and decide whether to do the handover. So we had the handover decision.c, and Jolly actually a while back implemented an improved handover algorithm. We call it handover decision 2. And it, just like handover 1, it takes the receive levels, quality, timing advance, and interference into account. By the way, interference is basically defined as you've got good reception levels but bad quality. And but it also takes into account the congestion of other cells. And once you did a handover, or you did a handover and it didn't work, there are penalty timers involved. So we try to prevent oscillation between cells. And another thing the decision 2 takes into account is the voice codec. So for example, if we're on TCHH and the quality is a bit low, it would try to go to TCHF if there are free channels. Or tweak the codecs so that interference doesn't have that bad effects, and would even assign within the same cell, like a handover within one BTS. And so what do I have here? That's where I based my work on the openbsc.git Jolly handover branch. And it's sort of an old tradition now. Last year I talked about the dynamic time slots. Was it last year? I think, yes. That was also work by Jolly that I took over, and handover is just the same. And the load-based handover. So I forward ported it to OsmoBSC quite recently, and there were some breakages in handover that have been fixed. Like in OsmoBTS, we didn't send the system information properly, so often the phones would actually stop sending measurement reports for no apparent reason. But now we're in the position to get measurement reports reliably and properly tested, and well, that's where the work is sitting now. And ironically, I'm now mostly working on inter-BSC handover and not the load-based handover, even though that needs some more attention, actually. So let's just look at the tweaked or the new handover config, because that tells you a lot about how this stuff works. So this is like on the network level in the VTY. This is the basic configuration, is handover, allow it or don't allow it. 0 is its handover is switched off, and 1 is it is switched on, and then you can decide which algorithm. That's the new part. The handover 0-1 existed before. And another new thing recently added is you have a global configuration of handover, but you also have the same configuration items on each BTS level. So basically, if a BTS has no handover config, it uses the global config. But as soon as a BTS also has handover config, that applies for that BTS. So basically, I could say handover 1 on the network level, handover is enabled anywhere, everywhere, and then I select handover algorithm 2 everywhere. But on some, say BTS 5, I want the old hand or the simpler handover algorithm. So then on BTS 5, I pick handover algorithm 1, and only that BTS would behave differently from the network config.
Is this for phones which are handing over from the BTS or to the BTS, or both?
Well, it's mostly where the phone is at now. It depends. Like in handover decision 2, when you want to not congest the target cell, it would obviously look at the target cell's minimum desired free channels. Sort of.
In terms of this configuration, so like, for example, if you have one base station and all its neighbor, one base station with enabled handover and all its neighbors have disabled handover, will it hand over to BTS with disabled handover, for example?
That's a detailed question. I think we are not handovering two cells that have handover switched off, but the default idea is like look at the cell where the phone is right now, and some few config items we look at the target cell that we would hand over to. But basically, if you're on BTS 5 and handover is enabled, then we would try to hand over. But let me check later on whether we hand over cells that have handover disabled. I think we don't. So Pao said it would make sense to have handover from and handover to. But I don't know. I think it makes sense the way it's right now. If we have practical concerns, we can certainly change it. But before we had just one global config, enable handover anywhere and have the same parameters anywhere. At least now we can configure each cell on its based on its location and so on.
What does handover default do? Like it's the same as saying handover 0 or handover 1?
Yes, so
it's a bit confusing, I think.
This is the same code working on the network and the BTS level, and the default means the default value. If you look at the help, it will always tell you the default. I think the default for handover enabled is 0, so it's off, and the default algorithm I think still is 1. So the idea is, assume that you have configured the network level, then you can go to the BTS level and say handover algorithm 2, and then if you want to go back to the network level, then you can just say handover algorithm default, and then it will remove the setting of the BTS level. Does it make sense? So there are default values, and then on the network level, you can set manual values, and on the BTS level, you can set manual values, and to remove the manual settings, you can go to default again. And the BTS would first look on the network level, and the network level would then go look in the factory defaults, the default defaults. And this applies to all the config items that come from now on, except one, which I may remember to point out later. So this is the handover, the config we had all the time. It's like how large is the receive level averaging window, like how many values do we average to decide on, to have a value to decide with. Same, how large is the window to average over RX quality. And then that's both for the current cell and then the same for the receive level of the neighbor cells. So that's just, by how large is the n by which I divide to average. And then power budget interval and hysteresis, that means how many, satches do I wait before I calculate the power budget. And then the hysteresis is again, if I switch to one cell, I want to obviously keep a distance before I switch back. So if it's the common hysteresis use case, like you don't just have a threshold value, you keep a distance before you switch back. It's not really that important here now. And then the maximum distance, that's about the TA, the timing advance, like how large may the value become before I hand over it simply because it's too far away from me now. And the handover 2 has the same, plus some more stuff here. It does also switch on assignment or not within the same cell. This TDMA measurement I'm not really that familiar with, but it selects, I don't know, let's look it up later. it It also employs some minimum receive level and receive quality. Like if I'm in a cell and another cell is better than the cell I'm in, but I'm still above this minimum level, then don't bother to hand over. I'm good enough, you know, why hand over? Why congest the handover network thing? Then the AFS bias is about, so the AMR or AFS codec works better than the normal, I don't know, what is it, EFR or what? So if we can hand over to such an L-chain, we prefer it. So we just put a little bias on it. Even though the RX level is, what, 10, then say, oh, but if it's going to go to AFS, then let's make it 12 so it comes in a bit better, and we prefer that. So that's a kind of a little tweak. And then the min free slots is about congestion. Looking at it, I had a bit of a different idea, but the way it is now is that for each BTS or for all BTS, I can say, okay, I want to have at least, say, 3 TCHH unoccupied. And as soon as there are only 2 free, then we would start to try and hand over to a different cell to again reach this 3 free L-chains. So this works for TCHF and TCHH separately. Then the next thing would be max handovers, like how many handovers do I allow for a certain period of time? I'm actually not sure about the period of time. I think it's about how many handovers are currently active right now, yeah. So if I set this to max handovers 5 and 5 L-chains are already busy handing over, I think it's even intended on across the entire BSC, might have to revisit that one. But the point is that, you know, I don't try to hand over everyone back and forth, and let's first finish a few handovers, then look at the load situation again, and only then start handovering again. Then the penalty times, like when I went too far away of a cell then and hand over to a different one, let's wait a few seconds before allowing handover again. Same for if handover failed, don't retry right again. And then failed assignment is just handover within the same cell. Then retries again is, well, okay, if it failed, don't retry, but retry like 3 times and only then wait until you retry again. It's like another little tweak into penalty timers. And this last one is the one that is only existing on the network level, is the congestion check timer, which is configured globally. The default is 10 seconds. And the now is just if you want to trigger it manually for debugging. So that's a lot of stuff there. That is not present in the handover algorithm 1. And so here was, you know, I just dumped the documentation in case there were questions. Maybe we can have a look at the TDMA here. Power budget interval, a stronger neighbor. Oh shit, I forgot. When I click, it goes back to the next slide. Okay, let me see if I can search here. No, come on, JavaScript stuff. What happened now? Oh my God. There you go. Right, let me try this. Oh, I can use this. So where's the TDMA? This is handover 1, handover 2, AFS bias. It should be on the top. So what does it say? Not much. Yeah, I'll just pick 4.
neighbors, I mean, or actually accessing measurement, neighbor measurement information in BSC.
Can you use another phone?
Oh. Yeah, this should refer to measurement report handling in the BSC. There are two modes of doing this. You can either take all measurements and or you can take a subset, but I don't remember why is this. Harald probably knows more about this.
This relates to DTX, to discontinuous transmission, because in if DTX is enabled, there are only some bursts which are guaranteed to happen all the time, and if no voice is being spoken, then basically the silence detector in the voice encoder will detect that, and there will be no bursts transmitted. So of course, if you do measurement averaging on those slots where the phone doesn't transmit anything, you will get ridiculously high bit error rate. So if you have DTX enabled on a channel, then you can only look at the sub values for handover related measurements. If DTX is disabled, you can look at the full values. That's basically the difference. So I don't really think it makes sense to have this manually configured, but it should be automatically based on whether or not DTX is enabled on the L channel at the given time. Otherwise, I don't understand why, let's say, you know you don't have DTX, but then you restrict your measurements on some certain slots on the subset. Why, if you have the other slots and you know they're valid bursts in uplink, why not use them for the decision?
So another question there?
I just have a suggestion that I might push as a patch to replace default with inherit.
Inherit?
Yes.
But then, yeah, okay. On the network level, you inherit from the default?
So the network level, maybe a special case, but yeah, for clarity, I think that makes maybe some sense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in my head, the network level would be the default, and then above that, there would be another default. But if you guys prefer that, we can always change it, of course.
We can also accept both.
Yeah, we can have an alias.
Even better.
But then we would bike shed on which one we write back on the writing back the config file. Excellent. And then you can set that policy back to default or to inherit.
Perfect.
Well,
I think we call it inherent at some point then.
Inherent default. So here what I mentioned is the default value that is going to be used on doing default or inherit is always shown in the VTY config. So on the BTS level, it would, if I had a manual config on the network level, it would also show them. Oh no, I clicked again. It also show the manual config. Come on, help me out here. And there was sort of an interesting instance that got me. So I looked twice here on this one. So in the VTY, to separate range, we use the dash. Now, of course, we also use the dash for negative numbers. So this is actually negative 110 to negative 50. So it's not... It's not subtract 50 from 100 or something like that. So I did deliberate tests in my VTY tests to ensure that this works as intended, and it does. Right, so how is the time? It's over. Okay, so there were some test cases. This is a really nice one. I think I'm not going to go through the entire one, but Jolly, when he implemented it, he invented this kind of testing script. And this is interesting to note, like this test case 23 is a neighbor is your friend, and it goes something like this. Andreas is driving along the coast on a sunny June afternoon. Suddenly he's getting a call from his friend and neighbor Axel. Axel asks Andreas if he would like to join them for a barbecue.
Axel's house is right in the neighborhood and the weather is fine. Andreas agrees, so he drives to close store to buy some tofu, some halloumi cheese. And so then here goes the real test. While he's driving, a different cell on the top of the store becomes better. But inside the store, the cell tower on top of the store has really bad reception, so it goes back to the distant cell. And going back outside the door, it goes back to the cell on the store. And then he goes back to his friend Andreas, and says, Andreas wonders why he still has good radio coverage. Last time it was so bad. And Axel says, I installed a Pico cell in my house. Now we can use our mobile phones down here at the lake. And in my imagination, at that point, their mothers and girlfriends call and they both toss their phones in the water to have silence again. So,
yes? Actually, we could build a text adventure from this, right?
A USSD interaction, right, there you go. This is actually an interesting, more interesting test case is here we have a full red codec and we would hand over, but the other cell is actually congested, so it has less than the configured three slots. So that's something the handover decision one wouldn't do. And what's the test doing? It creates two BTSs. It says, I want in cell one, I want four free TCHF at all times. And then it sends a measurement report that says, well, my current cell is RX left 20, the RX qual is left out of the test, but the other cell has much better RX quality, but still we're not handing over. And then as soon as I reconfigure the other target BTS to want only three free TCHF and I get another measurement report, then okay, oh, then the algorithm sees we don't congest and then we hand over. There's a big discussion behind that, a theoretical one on whether you should prefer to hand over or to prefer to take a new calls. So in literature, a book I got from Harold, it actually says you should rather favor handover because that's an ongoing call. And you should not, you should not take up a new call and for that drop a call that is ongoing to ensure better radio service. But anyway, this is up to configuration with the settings we had before. And what's this? This one shows you that when we are on TCHF, we might go and change the call to TCHH if the TCHF on the target cell is congested. This to show a landscape of what the new handover algorithm is capable of. So what's really still missing is the work I did earlier from Jolly's branch, the dynamic time slots, isn't properly integrated with handover decision 2 yet. So far, this handover decision assumes a time slot has one. It's either TCHF or TCHH. And with dynamic time slots, of course, we could dynamically switch, and this is not part. I haven't looked into how to incorporate it in the best way. And of course, we need tests. And I'm also implementing the inter-BSC handover at the moment, which is also interesting because that intermingles, like before we used the BTS numbers to hand over, decide, and now we suddenly also have RFCN and BSIC of remote BSS cells that we need to translate to location area codes, and it becomes very interesting and intricate. I could go on talking, but my time is over. So, any measurement reports?
My question is it possible to manually trigger handover from VTI or control interface?
Yeah, that's basically the first thing I implement when I try to test it. I even have a handover any command, so I got tired of typing the time slot all the time. So I have my test phone there, or two of them, and I just type handover any, and it picks the first voice call it finds and handovers it to the first free BTS it finds.
Thanks, but what if the base station you are going to handover is has disabled handover? Is it possible to enforce handover there?
Well, this one, if you disabled handover, that's in the handover decision algorithm. The handover code that performs the handover is not affected by that. So if you are, if you're on the VTY, then basically you are the handover decision. And if you say handover this L-chain to that cell, then it's going to do it. And you can't disable that really. But yeah, you can configure Thanks. The handover algorithm to do what you want.
So I remember, it's on? Yeah. I remember talking about this some time ago and asking people nicely to do it. And it's amazing to see it there. Thanks. But the use case I'm thinking of, there's a lot of different parameters to control handover. And I'm just trying to, in my head, figure out how you would do it when you want to only load balance. You don't care about RX levels.
Yeah, so the current config is basically this min free slots, like.
So that will just take precedence I'm imagining over equal?
Well, if I were inventing it now, I think I would come up with sort of a more like a weighted approach. Not this is sort of a hard barrier of I want two free slots. And if I have less than two free slots, if I have more than two free slots, I don't care. I would, you know, not even bother to balance. And but as soon as I have less than two slots, well, I would never populate the last slot until everything is full. Sort of, I would more like favor, like balance it out with the receive levels. But you know, it's. I think it's.
Yeah. Okay. I see it now. Super simple, actually. Yeah.
Say again.
It's.
Yes, you're free to implement handover algorithms. I was even thinking of, you know, if we have multiple MSCs or even between multiple BSCs, coordinate those handovers, it would even make sense to have some, you know, external interface that has a central database. I don't know. That's on a different page. Yeah.
So the any other thing I wasn't clear about is AFS and AMR are more or less synonymous there? Or what is AFS?
AFS is AMR full rate. Full speed, yeah, but full rate. It's AHS, which is AMR all rate.
I tend to be.
AMR on TCHF and on TCHA, and that's the difference. So
okay.
AFS and AHS.
Ah, right, so you get a faster bit rate and supposedly better quality. Okay.
Yeah.
So just on AMR, it doesn't full AFS and AHS does not necessarily convert into the quality, because on AFS, which is a full rate time slot, you still could have the lowest possible AMR mode. So AMR modes, which specify the quality, actually are separate. It's a separate configuration. So there is a certain mode of AMR which allowed on both full rate and half rate. Basically, they fit into the half rate, so they could be used on both. And above some mode, only full rate is possible for those AMR modes. But this is unrelated to handover.
So
one other observation I had, which is just an interesting thing to know, is that apparently the configuration of neighbors is only a suggestion to a phone. So phone can actually build its own neighbor list from various sources. So for example, it can remember other RFCNs it saw before and add them to the neighbor list and still measure them. I was surprised by this when I significantly reduced neighbor measurements on a network, and then I still saw that, you know, phone is measuring other RFCNs it wasn't supposed to. So that's and then I like Googled and found that phone can build its own neighbor list from various sources, and not only sure? from what's like,
from what I remember off the top of my head is that when we receive measurements, we actually index it in the neighbor list. Like we don't actually, the phone doesn't really send the RFCN, it just sends the index in the neighbor list, but I'm not really sure about that. I thought I had read something like that in the code. So,
well. Yeah, maybe we can look deeper into this. Definitely, I mean, I read that it is possible to somehow.
But if it's possible, the there's a difficulty there because also just recently I realized that within even the same BSC, cell a BSIC could get reused even on the same RFCN. So if a phone decides by itself who is the neighbors, then it could bring up a situation where it's requesting an RFCN and BSIC that it sees over here, and the BSC thinks it's the other one over there. And so it should be allowed to do by the phone, because the BSC has to have the prime say on who is the neighbor of who. Okay, time. So then hand over command to whoever. Head over detected. Okay, hand over complete.